If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at some different scriptures. We'll be in Romans chapter 15 in just a little bit. But before we do that, the topic as we continue toward Christmas is better together, and actually not just a Christmas thing, but something that's just been on my heart. Today we're talking about the phrase, accept one another, accept one another. That's what we're going to look at. And last week we talked about the idea of having the same mind. And this can be a tough one. This will be a tough one for us. But I know we'll get there. So accept one another. I want to start off by asking you a question today. You saw in that little picture there, milk and cookies. Those always go better together. Thank you, Carla. I think she found that in the airport out in Denver and brought that home. So that picture, better together. Let me ask you a question. What are things that are better together? What are things that are better together? Who would like to just say something? Something that's spaghetti and meatballs, okay? Peanut butter jelly, macaroni and cheese. Steak and shake. I like that. Hey, by the way, we do have to do this quickly here. Well, no, not quickly. We're going to celebrate. We have a gentleman here who likes Steak and Shake, who's 89 years old today. Don Coates, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Don, happy birthday to you. Sally asked him in Sunday school class, how does it feel to be 89? And he said, I don't know, I've never been 89 before. It's my first day, so you're looking good, brother. Congratulations. Somebody else, something that's better together. Man and wife. Better together. Something else. I saw that on Facebook. Yeah. All right. Somebody else. Chocolate chip cookie after Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Cereal and milk. Absolutely. Somebody else. Horse and carriage. Oh, that's great. That's great. Somebody else. Better together. Better together. French fries and what? Oh, French fries and Coke. Coca-Cola. Okay. I could hear her, but I couldn't see her. All right, good. Anybody else? Better? Popcorn and butter. Yeah, lots of butter. Somebody else? Popcorn and chocolate. Anything with chocolate. Yeah, peanut butter and chocolate. Anything with popcorn. Yeah. Things that are better together. Now, let's look at this next slide. We've looked at this every week, but I want to read it to you one more time. In fact, read it with me, would you? We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long, and that's why God created us to live connected to one another. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while also holding me accountable. We are all better together. Last week, we used the illustration of the game Apples to Apples. The goal of that game is for the players who have the red cards to think about the person who has the green card, who's leading that round. As they pull the green card, and whatever their topic happens to be, the people who have the red cards are like, okay, what card can I play that the person with the green card will think matches? And really, when you look at the cards, they're crazy in trying to match. But your goal is not to match card for card as much as it is to get in the head, the mind of that person who holds the green card. Last week, we talked about being like-minded, and that's having the mind of Christ, being like-minded. The scripture we looked at last week was Romans 15:5. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. And I thought it was interesting. We're going to see something else relating to that. It's not just the phrase that we're going to look at this morning, accept one another. It's what goes with that phrase. And last week it was, according to Christ Jesus. We're going to look carefully in a moment to see how that phrase, accept one another, goes with Jesus. Jesus even prayed. We looked at that last week when he was in the garden. He was praying that he would not only return to the Father after completing his mission, but that we would experience the unity that he experienced with his Father, that we as followers of Jesus would experience that same unity. He prayed it. He had accomplished his mission, the first few verses. The second few verses or so, he says, I pray that over my disciples. And the last part of John 17, which is for us, he prayed that for us as the church body, as the body of Jesus. I asked that question on Facebook, what are things that are better together? And I got many of the same responses you gave. And the one friend of mine back in Texas, Terry Rodriguez, says, are you looking for the church? I'm like, yes. We are better together as the body of Jesus. We're better unified. We're better together when we have that like-mindedness that Jesus talked about in this prayer last week. When we're in trouble, when we're not in unity, what happens? We have problems carrying out our mission. I would just say if you find a church or a group of believers that are having problems with unity, they're having problems with the mission. Make sense? Amen? We got to have that unity. We got to be focused on what the mission is. We're going to talk further about that today. We saw last week that the church in Acts chapter 2 was a great example of having like-mindedness. Look at this scripture. It says, and they continued daily with one another, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They continued daily, in another translation I'm trying to superimpose on this translation, they continued daily. They were with one heart. They were with one mind. They were in unity. They had singleness of heart. The scripture we want to look at today, if we'll look at the next slide, is this. And if you want to look in your Bibles, it's Romans chapter 15. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Can I tell you something as we start this morning? It is always a privilege for me to be able to preach and share the word. This is the highlight of my week, to be able to share this word. I remember when I was in college, we had a professor, his name was Paul Gray. And Dr. Gray was like a practice professor. He was the one that gave us all the nuts and bolts of ministry. We had our theology professors. We had our history, church history professors. We had our Greek professors. Dr. Gray was like the practice guy. And he talked about this idea of keeping things simple. And one of the things he said was, every week when you come into the pulpit, people are going to look at you and say, preacher man, that's how he talked, preacher man, what did the Lord tell you this week to tell to us? And this is where we're going this morning. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. And here's that catch, like the last one. Here's another catch. He says in this verse, in order to bring praise to God. You want to live a life praiseworthy of God? What does it say? In Romans 15:7, it says, if we want to live a life praiseworthy, we need to accept one another just as we have been accepted by Jesus. There's a lot. We could talk just about that one verse for a long, long time. But the deal is this. This thought is, as we are accepted by Jesus, we accept others. Maybe the problem with accepting others is sometimes we forget about how we've been accepted by Jesus. How we've been saved by Jesus. How we've been changed and we're continually being changed by Jesus. And so we have a hard time accepting one another. And we forget the last part of that verse which says, in order to bring glory to God. I think all of us would like to glorify the Lord in our lives. That's really our mission as Christians, is to glorify Jesus. And it happens as we accept others. In the next few months, there's going to be kids that are seniors, if it hasn't happened yet. Usually in the spring it happens. They get an acceptance letter to college. They've maybe sent out applications to two or three different colleges, and they start getting these acceptance letters. I remember where we were back in March years ago, out here right just past the mailbox, halfway between the mailbox and the house, when Audra, who was up working at Shiloh Park, got an acceptance letter to College of the Ozarks. We took that thing. We knew what it was. It was time. They sent us an email that said, okay, letters are going to be going out in such and such a window of time. And we knew it was happening, and we didn't know if it was going to be an acceptance letter or a rejection letter. The mail came. It was addressed to her. She was at Shiloh. We called her up. We said, Audra, is it okay? We got a letter here from College of the Ozarks. Is it okay to open it? Yes. We opened it. It was an acceptance letter. We cried. Now, I don't know if she cried at that end, but Janie and I were both crying, praising, thanking the Lord for this acceptance. And you know what it's like to be accepted? Today we're talking about accept one another. The word accept literally means to take, to receive, to welcome. In fact, in Romans 14, 1 through 3, it talks about this, accepting those whose faith is weak, accepting them. without quarreling over disputable matters. We're accepting each other. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. And the last phrase is this, for God has accepted them. Acceptance. I really believe at Harris Chapel we understand this to a great measure. We do. We just need to be reminded as we go through the Christmas season and on into 2019, the value of acceptance. And maybe in a selfish way, because of how much Jesus has accepted us. You know, sometimes people say, boy, you wouldn't want to know me before I was a Christian. Well, that's true. You wouldn't want to know me before I was a Christian either. I'm just so thankful, though, that he has accepted me. And that's the key here, is accepting. Now, how does Jesus accept us? Let's look at some things. He accepts us mercifully. Mercifully, while we were sinners, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He accepted us. He went all the way to the cross. And I'm so thankful. Ed and Barbara did a great job next door with the Christmas decorations as well as here. And over there they have the nativity scene. And in the background they put the cross with palm branches along the bottom. And over here I just said, let's leave this up because here again we have the nativity scene with the cross in the background. Because Jesus went to the cross to accept us mercifully. Maybe we should extend mercy this Christmas season, especially to those who don't deserve it. And if we start talking about who deserves and who doesn't deserve, then we need to talk more about acceptance, okay? Maybe we could just kind of take that word out of our vocabulary. Okay, graciously. Jesus accepted us graciously. We're called to bear with each other and bear with one another, bear one another's burdens. Graciously, he has accepted us. Another thing we see in Scripture is lovingly he has accepted us. It tells us in Scripture that love covers a multitude of sins. Lovingly, Jesus accepted you and me. That's how we need to accept each other. And then the last thing is particularly. And this is kind of a scary one, but it's very important. As we are accepting his grace into our lives, I mean, he already accepts us, but there's this reciprocal thing that happens. As we accept him, he accepts us. We accept him, he accepts us. And it's just a great relationship. Now, the Bible does say if we don't accept him, then we're in trouble. In fact, it says in some verses that we're already condemned if we choose not to accept Jesus. It's important for us to accept him into our lives and also to accept others. Errors to avoid. One is this, judgmentalism. Judgmentalism can be defined as a hypocritical, fault-finding, harsh attitude that fails to take human weakness into consideration. When people focus on differences and perceived weaknesses, instead of focusing on potential and how we can be together in Jesus, how we can be in Christ, and people who are not in Christ, how desperately they need to be in Christ. And so what we do is we take the fact of how much Jesus has loved and accepted us and just make that part of our DNA to share it with others so they can, why are you being nice to me? They might even say at times. Because And we don't have to tell them, we just know inside, Jesus accepts me. Jesus accepts me. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, do not judge or you will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, why are you looking at that speck of sawdust in your neighbor's eye when you've got this plank in your eye? You need to get rid of the plank. Take it out of your eye, then you will clearly be able to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, keep your porch clean. You know, take care of your own business. Take care of what's in here. I hope I live long enough to get all that taken care of. You know, I'm still working on it. A lot of stuff that needs work in here. And then he goes on in verse 6, and this is kind of the discernment part because we don't want to judge. At the same time, you want to make sure we're discerning. And this is a hard thing to try to articulate. I was still struggling with it, going over it one more time this morning. I don't know that I'll do it justice, but I'm going to give you the verse anyway. In verse 6 of Matthew chapter 7, he says, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I believe what Jesus is saying here is on the first part, be totally accepting. Just love everybody. Live at peace with everybody. The word says this. At the same time, I think what Jesus is saying here, and I'm open for correction, I think what Jesus is saying here is, be careful what you throw out there. Just, you know, I mean, some people don't understand what's going on in your heart and life. Some people don't value what's going on in your heart and life. And so maybe there's certain things that you don't just throw out there to everybody, okay? There are certain joys that you share with certain people. And this is like a whole nother sermon, so I don't want to get too far into the weeds on this. But there are certain things in your life that you just want to cherish. You know, Mary even herself, it says in the story, Luke chapter 2, that she treasured up all these things. She treasured up all these things. And there are times when Jesus taught and he said, listen, you've seen this happen. Don't tell anybody. And I believe this is what, because there's something so sacred about this moment, you need to hold on to that moment. Now that's a whole nother sermon, but I do understand that this is an acceptance thing. Doesn't mean that we all just live together and that's a whole nother sermon. He does say though, and Paul is talking about this in the scripture we're reading today as we're accepting one another, be careful not to get caught in disputable matters. It's easy for us to recognize disputable matters today, okay? You go to social media and you can find a whole bunch of disputable matters on social media, right? All you have to do is post a picture of a current leader around the world or a former leader and say something a little bit derogatory down at the bottom, and boy, you've got something flying there, don't you? You have one of those disputable matters that shows up. Now you say, yeah, social media is just... Well, can I just tell you, social media has been around forever, okay? Before the internet, it was like party lines, you know, on the telephone. Anybody remember party lines on the telephone? Okay, yeah. Before that, it was the laundromat. And before that, way back in the first century, it was down at the river where they all did their laundry or where they fetched water. There's always been social media. It was around the outer courts of the temple. You know, did you hear about Mary and Joseph? Did you hear about Zechariah? What's going on? And Elizabeth, what's going on? Social media has always existed. But Paul tells us in this idea of accepting one another to avoid those matters that are disputable matters. I have people in my world, you do too. And you're like, why are you talking about this at Christmas time? Because we're gonna wrap it and get there in a minute. Because at this time of year, when families gather together, sometimes disputable matters come up, don't they? Has that ever happened at your house at Christmas? Oh, it's happened at our house before. I won't tell you the whole story. I just know one night we left a family member's home. It was sleeting outside. We didn't even know where we were going to go. But one of those disputable matters came up, okay? It sounds so nice and professional to say it was just a disputable matter. Instead of like, it was all out warfare. We were scratching each other's eyes out. And we were throwing stuff. We knocked the tree over. It was crazy. I mean, disputable matters. We those are things that just we need to accept one another. You have friends, I have friends that don't believe 100% the way you believe on political matters and maybe even sometimes spiritual matters and social matters, but we accept them because we want them to understand Jesus and the value of walking with and loving and serving Jesus. Janie shared with me something the other day. She saw it, and I wish I could find it and put the picture up. Maybe you can find it and send it to me. It says, you know, if you have that family, that like if you're kind of on the outs with your family at Christmas time and you want to really get to them, when you do your own family picture, find somebody who's not part of your family and stick them in your family Christmas card. Yeah. And then everybody would be like talking to everybody, who is that person? And why are they in the family Christmas card? And then it'll bring your family together for Christmas. I don't know if that works or not. But we're called in accepting one another. Paul says carefully, avoid those disputable matters. And sometimes those disputable matters can be so gratifying because we just know we're right. We just know we voted for the right person. We just know that our team was going to win that game. And we're just so right. And it just right. But don't do it. Accept one another. Why do we do that? I want to give you a little bit of what I shared Wednesday night. Why is it important at Christmas time to accept one another? Because we can walk through Christmas with all different kinds of attitudes. And I'm going to give you three of them this morning. I shared this Wednesday night, and a couple of people said, that was pretty good. So we'll give you some of that this morning. Not the whole thing, but just some of it. When I look at the Christmas story, people fell into at least three, maybe more, categories. And this is how we can learn to accept and walk through life and see people come to Christ because of how we accept them. Mary and Joseph. This is the first word I want to give you. You can respond. You can live in a responsive manner this Christmas. A responsive manner. when somebody gives, when a doctor prescribes something for a patient or a procedure takes place and they come out and talk to the family and all these things, they say, we find out that the patient is responding to the medication. They're responding to the treatment. What does that mean? It's working in a positive manner. The body is responding. The blood level everything's responding like it should respond. Mary and Joseph lived in a responsive manner. We can go through this life, especially at Christmas time, and say just like Mary, Lord, be it unto me as your servant, your will in my life. Responsive. Mary and Joseph. Elizabeth, getting ready for the birth of John. She was responsive. The wise men, when they saw the star, they were responsive. The shepherds, when the angels appeared in the sky, they were responsive. They took note. They said, we're going to go for this. We want to be up. We can live. And to me, it's a day-to-day thing. Can I just tell you, just because I responded to Jesus back in May of 1978 and accepted him into my life, that was just my first time to respond. I am daily in the Word, daily praying, daily responding. Does that make sense, y'all? Does that make sense? We need to live in an attitude and a mindset of responding. Jesus calls us every day to come and follow him. It wasn't just that one-time thing with fishermen on the shore there. It's a day-to-day thing. Daily we're called to take up our cross. If you look at the original language and the way that it's written, it's like it says deny yourself, continually deny yourself, continually take up your cross, continually follow Jesus. And so Mary and Joseph gave us a beautiful illustration of responsiveness. And so we can live life responding like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. Or another posture we can take is the second word, and that is react. Now, I've heard that if a patient is receiving a certain medication or a treatment, and then when they come back and say, oh no, there's been a reaction. That's usually not a positive thing, is it? It's like, oh, there's a reaction. There's a rash, you know. The fever has spiked. All these things are happening, and we don't know what's going on because there's a reaction. In the story of Christmas, Herod was not very accepting of the message. Mary and Joseph accepted. Elizabeth accepted. The wise men accepted. The shepherds accepted. The people around, well, many of them were like King Herod. It says this in Matthew 2. When King Herod heard this unbelievable news, he was disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted. Now, that's the second part further down in the scripture. The first part of Matthew 2 is right after that. There's some other scriptures in there. And Herod gets a hold of the Magi and says, oh, you're going to worship this king? Tell me where he is. I'll go worship him too. The people, the wise men, the Magi, they go on. They worship the Christ child. But it says they were warned in a dream. They responded to that dream. They went home a different way. King Herod, this is later in the scripture, he realized he had been outwitted by the Magi. It was funny. They use the word outwitted. King Herod, they've deceived me. Well, the wise men were not out to deceive King Herod. They were out to be responsive to the Lord's leading. And so what happens? When he had that happen, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in another bad reaction. In Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and younger. A reaction. So see, we can go through Christmas and we can respond on a daily basis and have that attitude that Mary had. My soul magnifies the Lord. He's considered me as his humble servant to be part of this celebration. I'm going to do that. Or we can be like King Herod and say, whoa, there's a reaction here. And he was very, very upset. Or maybe another thing, which is not the best idea either, is we can retreat. Or remove ourselves. This is pretty scary. In John chapter 6, it's a powerful scripture. In John chapter 6, Jesus is feeding the 5,000 again. Jesus is walking on water. Jesus is talking about this whole idea of a relationship in the kingdom. And things are really ticking along. And all of a sudden, Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 6. You know what? Unless you eat my body or drink my blood, you can't be with me. All of a sudden, there's this shift, and the disciples are like, wait a minute, we were responding, and we were following, and this has been awesome. We saw these people fed, and we're excited about all this teaching, and you walked on the water. Who could, like in the movie The Shack, one of my favorite parts is when Jesus and Mac are running across the water. That's pretty awesome. I'm like, that is so cool. But here, by the time you get down to verse 60 and on into verse 66, they start raising questions, and they're like, why is this happening? Wait. And they're like, well, they started turning away. It says in verse 66, interesting, John 6, verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. There was a retreat. Can I just tell you one thing? Out of all these words, whether we respond, react, or retreat, I think retreat is the hardest one, because as a pastor, I see this happen. I see people. In fact, I think Paul talked about it over Galatians. He said, who cut in on you? You were running the race. You were doing so well. And then somebody cut in on you and you kind of walked away. This is a scary thing, Christians. Our response needs to continually be our response, be our response, be our response. Please don't retreat. Please don't remove yourself. I know there are times, and all of us can go around the room, I can testify, you can testify, of times we've been hurt, and sometimes by other Christians, sometimes by relatives who claim to be Christians, sometimes by coworkers who claim to be Christians, sometimes the person we do life with, and we're like, but don't retreat. Please don't retreat. Don't be like these disciples, these followers. It's worth it. That to me is another reminder of the Christmas season, is in this mission, it is so worth it. When I look at the manger, when I think about what Jesus has done for us on the cross, I want to continually respond. I'm going to continually respond. Part of my response is accepting, accepting, accepting. Well, Jim, what do you do if that person believes something different than I do? Well, I still love that person. I would never go to that person and say, well, you know, you don't believe like I do, so you're lost. You're out of luck. That's my goal. My job is to continually, as I live for him, to love that person. You know, sometimes, I mean, and I'll just say this and we'll wind it up. Sometimes that person expects us to hate them, don't they? They're just looking. Don't you love it when they're just looking for a fight? Don't give them a fight, okay? Please don't, okay? That's where the smart aleck side of me still wants to rear up. I don't know if that's part of that nature that continually needs to be, you know, cut out. Because the smart aleck side wants to do something. Oh, you want to fight? Okay, well, here, I'll throw that out there and just let you kind of, you know, like at Christmas time, you know, and you're like, I don't know if it's going to be good or not to go to this family's home, so let's just throw some politics on the floor and see what happens, you know. You think Hillary won in 20? Boom, there it is, you know. That's not what life is about. Life is about living in response to Jesus. Life is about accepting. And here, again, let me go back to that scripture. I don't know, Lori, if you can go back to it. It's the Romans 15:7 passage. Was it slide 7 or 8 or something like that? There it is. I can't get away from that. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you. Paul brings a lot of theology in his letter to the church at Rome. He really covers it all. I mean, you want a great, if you want to just give somebody like, well, tell me about this theology of Christian belief. What is that theology? Give them Romans, okay? Just tell them to live in Romans for a while, okay? And there's a lot of discussion goes on in chapter 14 and 15 about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable and the meat and the vegetables and all that. But this, to me, is the bottom line. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. How do I live that in my life? I think about this in the Lord's Prayer where he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. It's a contingency thing, isn't it? It's the fact that if we want to be forgiven, we better be forgiving. If we want, it's the Beatitudes. If we want to experience mercy, we need to extend mercy. If we want to experience joy, we need to extend. And all, I mean, it's in our hands. It was given. And the plan is this. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. The plan. God doesn't want anybody to miss heaven. It says it over in 2 Peter chapter 3. He just doesn't want any. It's his will. It's his desire. And I'll tell you what, that's heavy. Sometimes it's like, well, my desire is to learn to, you know, play this instrument or sing that song. And it just kind of becomes like a wish or a pipe dream. But when it says it's God's desire, it's like he doesn't want people to miss heaven. And so how do we help the process along? Because we are the plan. Today, we accept each other as we have been accepted by Jesus. Let's stand together for a moment of prayer. Would you join me, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you a question, especially here at Christmas time. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul today? I love it at the end of the service. Many times John will say, "Are all hearts free?" This is what he's talking about here. One of the things, and maybe, you know, does somebody have a testimony? That's another part of that, are all hearts free. But one of the parts of that all hearts free is right here. How is it with our soul? Is Jesus in our life? Do you sense his acceptance? Sometimes that's a hard one. It's hard to love others when we don't sense his love. It's hard to forgive others when we don't sense his forgiveness. It's hard to extend mercy when we don't, in this whole acceptance thing. Do you know him in your heart? Is he in your life? Is he in your life? Is he a big deal in your heart and life? Maybe you want to come pray about that this morning. Just say, "Jim, this morning, this Christmas season, I want Jesus to be a big deal in my life. I need to have him save my heart and soul. I need his salvation. I need that gift. I need that gift. I need that gift." Maybe you want to come pray about this morning and just say, I need the assurance that I have that gift in my heart, in my life. Come pray about that today. Maybe this morning you want to just come and pray and say, "You know what? I need to one more time respond. I've been drifting out there and I just haven't really been in the Word like I need to, and only you know what that looks like. Or I haven't been praying like I need to, and you know what that looks like. I'm not measuring your prayer life against mine or your Bible reading against mine. I'm just saying, you know in your heart where you're at. And maybe you've been living in reactionary mode, or you've been living in retreat mode. And you're like, I need to get back in. I'm tired of retreating." One of the things I love so much about going to Promise Keepers back in the day was that it was always that effort to continually resolve that we were not going to retreat. We were going to continually release whatever we had and embrace what God had for us. Anybody else want to come pray this morning? This is your time. This is your time to respond. This is the response time. This is the response time. Whether it be something I said this morning, or maybe you heard it earlier on a broadcast, a podcast, you've heard it this week, and something's just resonated in your heart. Like, I need to go pray. I need to pray because I need to be in that mode that Joseph and Mary were in to respond. To respond. Anybody else want to come pray? Jesus, today, we just want to respond to you and your word. Thank you so much for what you mean to us. Thank you for this Advent season. It's not only the Christian New Year, it's the Christian reset. It just shows us one more time how in the midst of all the noise and all the activities and all the parties and all the food and all the gifts and all the stuff that it's reset time to one more time, just like Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds. They responded. Help us to respond. And out of that response, to accept those around us, even those who have wrongfully used us and despised us and maybe still despise us. You tell us right there in the Sermon on the Mount, that's just keep stepping forward, marching forward, respond, respond, respond. Jesus, we want to respond today and throughout this Christmas season. And Jesus, also, we want to lift up the needs around us. We know that Christmas, for many people, is not as joyful as it was in years gone by. And maybe this Christmas is going to be pretty tough, very tough, because of situations that have changed since last Christmas or in the last few years. Father, may we as the body better together, may we better together accept each other and love on each other and encourage each other and pray for each other. We sense that in Sunday school classes. We sense that in home groups. We sense that here in the sanctuary. May we do it through the week. Not just at appointed times, but all the time. And help us to reach out to those people. We may catch a moment on the elevator at Ball Hospital. or down at Henry County Hospital. We may catch a moment in the foyer of a store somewhere, or maybe standing in line at the post office. But help us, Lord, just to use those moments to respond as you would lead us to respond. Father, be with the needs around the altar this morning. Touch each heart. Touch each life. Bring your presence. And may all of us be overwhelmed by how much you accept and love us. Unconditional love. We can't wrap our mind around it, but you help us. And Jesus, help us moving forward. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.